29 days.
So that turned into...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.6 blocks.
Good. Two-thirds, 10.6. Okay, now you're 10.6. Now your amplitude that hits nowhere exactly close to that, is it?
The amplitude of C.
Yeah.
Hits the intersection point of C hits very close to that. Just to
well, there's your trouble. That's where you're off. That's where you're off. If you had that a little more precise, it may be that it falls. Nope. Do you see how close you are? So now you got to look at it. You checked it as you went, and it was weird, but worked. It was weird, but worked. Weird, but worked. So if you're... What?
I'm nowhere near... I'm like... How many pips below the actual answer am I?
Well, you're within a nickel. You're within a nickel.
I'm 580 pips off.
Not necessarily, because you've got to redefine and look more closely at your minus sine minus cosine. See, you have the benefit of knowing the correct answer. So by knowing the correct answer, you can now adjust and see where you went afoul. And when you got,
you know
16 digits. Yes.
Where?
In your ciphering.
What's that?
Well, ciphering is the thing that you do on your piece of paper.
Okay, so...
So now you're so close you can taste it. Here's what you got to do. Now you have practical appliers to play with. So we would say, remember back when we said, if there's a question, come back to B?
Will his phone go out? You there, Ian?
We are.
His session's over. We've come to the end, so... if his phone's gone, it's all right. I was just going to come in. And so did you finish the number talk?
We were ciphering, giving him... Remember, if we went back from this end, we said, if there's a question, come back to this point of B in your position and put a dot by that B, because that's where it's a question. Well, now that's come up, and he's very, 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 very all over it from his calculations. He's just got to pay close attention to the Maybank rate of the exact calculation, and he needs to double-check his minus sine, minus cosine of C, do a little empirical research to make sure that he's plotting that the way it's supposed to go, then also look at the exact point of his calculation of his tangent, because he's so close within that mark, he can see where he's got to adjust. Since he has the benefit of knowing what the correct answer is supposed to be. That'll perfect the art enough to where he should be on it, Bob. He's on it.
Okay, so let's end with that.
But his calculation faltering is at C, apparently. Therefore, we are totally, deliciously, happily, and forever, Ernest Hemingway.
Okay, I'll unmute Califia first. Califia, do you remember the 4X formula? Oh, Califia just hung up. Gee. So, let's see. Hopefully she'll come back. If you write that down... Just a second. Okay. Maybe her power ran, her phone. She said she'd wait. So, now she's back. Okay. All right, Califia. You're unmuted.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay.
Can you
so
hear me?
Do you
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Were we, was that 2014 when we were at the restaurant going into the early morning with Eb and Ray? Was that our trip coming through L.A. when we were with you?
Yes.
I think it was 2014. So we haven't talked since then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the talk about the 4X formula?
No, I do not.
Okay, I don't. This is 2011, so maybe you missed that. It was, Ayn had this formula that if you figured out how to do it, you could pinpoint what was going to happen on the foreign exchange market and make a lot of money. So this person, Nelson, is going through, this was the second half of his 18th session. He does about 21. But I was playing at the end of the show over the last few months, but Ian's coming back soon. He hasn't been here for 2 years. And I'd always start the show off with a lot of music, an hour and a half, 2 hours of music at least. So I'm cutting back on the music to get people to tune into Ion, because this is an amazing session. All that number talk, Ion's doing that by ESP. He's not writing it down. And he can remember the numbers that Nelson's talking about from 5 minutes before. Every now and then, Nelson's amazed that Ion could see his computer and read what's happening on there. Anyways, I think it's one of the most interesting sessions that Ion does. So I'm playing it at the beginning of the show instead of music so that people can get serious about Ion for when Ion comes back.
Okay.
So,
Ion has been missing for 2 years or haven't been on air with you for 2 years?
Yes. Ion took a break from December 2011 till February 2014 with a little, he dropped in during the Bob 6 day no sleep marathon in November, end of November 2013, but he didn't come back till February 22nd. So then he was on for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2014, 15, 16, and then on, end of February 1st to March 2017, Ion took a break. And the smart Ionauts appreciate that because it gives them a time to catch up and go back and listen to stuff. So it's now been 2 years just like the last break, and it looks like Ion's coming back. Ion actually snuck in last week and said some words. You know, he does that without even phoning in. So I will play you. Someone noticed this. Bart noticed this. So this is a guy talking Clinton, and then you hear Ion comment on it. And then Bart, when he made this recording for us, he repeats it. It's not actually what happened, the repeat part. So listen to this.
Okay. I'm not able to give up those constraints. They're a part of my perceptive faculty. They're in there deep. I'm not sure why I'd want to open my mind and then suddenly start believing in alien forces from another dimension or anything like that when I already do not see them.
Well, and I guess, okay, let me throw something else then.
Do not see them.
Well, and I guess.
Kelly. So that's Ion responding to Clinton, who is an intellectual, very good talker, but he doesn't know what to make of Ion, so he's explaining how I can't make my mind believe this situation. So Ion goes, tell it. You know, T-E-L-L-I-T, tell it. Tell it. So we all missed it, but Bart somehow caught it, so he excerpted. So that's Ion beginning his return. He crept on the line and said those two words, two syllables.
Oh, okay.
So that was neat.
So what have
now,
what have
okay, one more thing to show
before?
You.
Okay.
Now, what'd you say about before?
I said what you guys been up with. You about to show me something else. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. The second thing, you knew Jermaine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. This is Jermaine in two of her four or five sisters. They made a commercial. It's actually Gila who does the talking here. They came in last week for Jermaine's boyfriend's birthday, so they were on, but then they were yelling, screaming. So it got to this point. Here's the short version of the commercial.
Okay. I got a job. Can I tell you something that everybody that sees me thinks I'm 20 years old? So that's all.
Sorry, I played the long version. Here's the short one.
Okay.
With Sheila.
Are you looking for a young man? Somebody who can fuck you really good at
Uncle
night? Somebody that's going to make you feel like you're the youngest thing alive?
Oh,
well, take your RNA. Take your supplement by Auntie Carolyn. It'll make you feel like a brand new person. RNA.
Oh, my God.
Your drop. That will make you drop your panties.
All right, so that's to get you back into the ribald pornographic mood we sometimes have here, Khalifia. That's the commercial they come up with spontaneously. Take the drops and you will drop your pants. So you emailed me the other day. I can't remember how we reconnected.
Well, it was...
I left a message.
Me in December, and it was the old email address. I rarely check it, and I had put some tickets on that, email address that I was looking for, and then I saw the message because it's still the same, but it's at Gmail.
Right. Yeah. It was an old email. So you just luckily happened to see it.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, now... when people heard that you were here, when I stopped, James had come in, James from Australia, who we haven't talked to in over a year. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
So people were saying, hey, hi to James.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spoke to you. And people said, hey, Khalifia. They typed it on the chat line. And Leah said, Khalifia, I remember that laugh. How cool to hear her.
Oh.
So your fans immediately responded. And that brings us up to where we are now. Is there something you would like to talk about? Or do we need to brief you on what's been happening?
You need to brief me on what's been happening.
About 2014, our distributor got stupid, and so we had to let him go, but he quit before we let him go. And then he messed with our papers and trademarks, but this forced us to get a better operation going. So we got Ginny and Greg to take over the distribution that Matthew Hurtado was doing. And so we start... Just Ginny? Oh, okay, just Ginny's doing it. We started in May 2014 with our new business model and a new distributor, and now we've boomed all over the world, and our products, we've got many products now, and it's been very successful the last 4 years once we got the new distributor. And we have a really good support staff that helps Ginny.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, let me bring Ginny on. She's in the background. Ginny or Greg, maybe they'll say hello to you. Okay, I unmuted you, Ginny.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Khalifia, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Awesome. What have you been up to?
Well, we have to explain us first.
Yeah, explain you first.
Yeah, we're explaining ourselves.
I'm sorry.
No, you can. You lead the chat, but maybe you don't have anything to say. You don't know what to say. You heard me say
I always have something to say, Bob, and what I'd like to say is, hello, Khalifia, I've missed you, and tell me what you've been up to.
All right. Well, actually, I'm running a nonprofit right now, and actually for peer advocates for mental health, people with mental health issues. So I'm developing that program. What
is it new?
Program management. It's new. It's new. I opened it in 2016, and I sort of, you know, overlooked some things. And then when I took a course, I reasserted myself in the industry, and I said, okay, this is the direction we need to go. And that's the direction we're going now.
Didn't you go back to college for some purpose and a degree of some sort?
Is that what you got the degree in?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you got your degree in psychology, and then you decided to do this nonprofit.
Yes,
did you like it?
I like the people, and, you know, some of the stories, you know, it's really, really heart-wrenching. So some of the meets I go to, I might come out in tears. And right now I'm facilitating a group called Let's Rap. And
would you just say, what was that last bunch of syllables? You're facilitating?
A group called Let's Rap.
Oh.
It's a wellness recovery action plan for people who, you know, I guess this crew would say they're just fine, but, you know, the people who talk to themselves and you know, in the middle of the street and have homeless issues and family issues and all that, mental health problems, and they are issues. Yeah, so I'm dealing with this crowd now, and some of them.
Are you still in L.A.?
I'm still in L.A., yes.
So there's no shortage of people.
There's no
problems.
Shortage. Right.
Matter of fact, that's what I wanted to mention is that you've watched L.A. over the last almost 5 years. It's rapidly becoming crazy, right? Devin tells us this.
Well, I guess it's how I guess she's involved in a lot of areas, but, you know, it's basically the same. I say, I don't really view it as crazy. It's just, you know, the progression of life. You know, people coming to, you know, where they want to be. You know, they sort of direct themselves even though they don't know that. So I just basically just go with the flow. It's like you're really creating all of this. You just don't understand that you are, and you want to blame somebody about for your issues. But it's okay. You'll be all right.
Do you use any school of psychology, or you just use what all the different things you know about?
I usually use all the different things that I know about. I am registering in school for my master's in social work. So I basically use all the knowledge that I've gained over the years, you know. I mean, you know, you and Ayanna and Carolyn were very influential in my life, you know, and it's 2009 until 2011. So that's still, you know, in my bag of tricks, you know. It's dependent on who I'm talking to, because everybody is not really ready for, you know, you're doing this, you know. They don't want to hear that, you know, and I'll get some backlash and I'll just baby them. That's all. It's okay.
Right. But there are certain people that it's useful.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people it's very useful and they actually agree. But, you know, I don't think they fully own it, the ones that I've talked to recently. They don't completely own it. They'll give me some backlash, even though they do accept the theories. They don't completely embrace them.
Right. Too extreme.
Mm-hmm.
It seems too extreme.
Yeah.
So I think I cut you off. You started to say something? Something else just before we said this last
thing? No, I'm re-registering in social work, you know, to get my master's in social work. And that's basically it. I'm just sort of formulating this. I'm bidding on contracts, and I have a great team, but, you know, some of them are, you know, John, my friend, I'm sort of questioning him. I think he's mad at me because I wasn't there for him. But
because you wouldn't what?
I wasn't there for him. He went, you know, he lost his father, and we were close, and I was sort of out of contact with him, you know, and I recently got back in contact with him, and he hasn't been responding to me the way that he used to, so. Nonetheless.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. I was going to say, are you still with John? And that's not the case.
That's not. Well, no, I'm trying to include him in the project. He did take on some some work for me, but he's not being responsive. So I'm just moving on. I'm just moving forward. And then when he feels like it, he'll get in contact with me, and I'll have a good conversation with him.
And so he was very affected by his father's death. I don't understand people being affected by their parents' death. It happens, but I don't know why that is. Why are they so affected, do you know?
Well, I mean, you know, it's more so, it's selfishness. It's based on selfishness. I don't want this person to go, you know. So, you know, that's basically what it is to me. That's what I've simplified it to.
Right,
like,
right.
I want you to leave me, and you left me, and now I'm mad that you left me. And, you know, that's my simplified version of it. And
most
people probably would argue with me and say, oh, that's real mean or whatever, and it's not mean, it's just acceptance. People come and they go to another universe or whatever. I mean, get with the program, but most people are not there, so I just, you know, accept it.
Right.
No problem.
Yeah, people, I had a pretty balanced upbringing, so there was no neurosis created with my parents, and as they aged, it was natural they were going to go. Wasn't something to worry about or hope they stayed on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we got Ginny here. Ginny was affected by her father's death. She's talked about that. Right, Ginny?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ginny was very affected by my father's death, but I was much younger than John, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I think the older you get, the more it's. Plus, my dad's death was not expected by me because I was clueless.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, if you've got an aging parent, but you know, everybody has their own experience with death. So
yeah. Well, the thing, if you really, you know, buy into some of the concepts that Ion and others have, and Bob and Carol accept, you know that you really don't die. You don't die. It's just you're just transporting to another phase in your whole universe. And, you know, us talking like that is mostly, you know, it's above most people's head, and they can't get with that. They're caught up in this. In this world right now, what they're experiencing. And I accept that, but, you know, I don't really look at death the same way as others. It's like, you know, they're just moving on to another dimension.
Yeah.
That's it. You know? And,
it's interesting to me how you can make that distinction around death, and I agree with you. And then, but, I mean, mental health, that's a big field to be working in, and how do you make sense of all that? Do you think that people are just intentionally deceiving themselves, and that's part of their godhood?
Well, that could, you know what, I would go with that one. I would go with they are intentionally, they're not owning who they are. They're not taking responsibility for everything that's going on in their lives, and they just sort of just leave here and do their own thing. And it's, you know, and then the thing is, okay, since we do know that there are other dimensions, they could be in one, just, you know, talking to somebody in another dimension. So it's okay. You know, it's just really accepting what's going on. And then, you know, if they want to come back on this side, then I'm here for them. If they don't, you know, I'm fine with them talking to somebody else. I don't necessarily have to see what you see or believe what you believe to sit up there and accept what you're going through and accept it as a reality, because that is your reality. You know, people are saying, oh, you're meant for this. Oh, no, it's just I know how to accept things, you know, and I don't sit up there and squirm at it. It's a part of our reality, and, you know, looking at it sometimes is very interesting, and it gets you out of yourself, you know, thinking about your own stuff or whatever. So I like it. And then some of these people are extremely entertaining, some of the things they do. So, you know, I have a good time.
Right.
Good time.
Now I can totally get that. Now, what about What about the thing, though? Like, that's good, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm just going kind of back to my pastor days. That's mm-hmm. good in kind of like a philosophical conversation or a theoretical mm-hmm. conversation, but then you've mm-hmm. got that person who's popping in and out of world, sitting at your desk, asking mm-hmm. for services. And yeah. so,
and that's
right?
what we're there to provide. That's yeah. what we're there. Whatever services they basically come, you know, come to a clear understanding that they need or they want, is like getting them to the point to where they can go through the processes, because, you know, when you're dealing with social services, it's a long process and it's a headache and there's a lot of denials. So, you know, just advocating for them, but then making sure that they're ready to receive those services and go after them. That's the hard part, getting them, you know, to sit up there and make appointments and be steadfast and mean what they say and do what they say. That's the hard part. And the organization that I'm affiliated with right now, which is Peer Support Network, they basically, their plan of action is to basically place somebody there to walk with you. So you will have support and somebody who's basically talking you through the process and being there with you and actually just being a buddy to you. So, you know, and I know that that works for a lot of people when they have somebody who they can rely upon to walk with them through the process, somebody who won't leave them, who's reliable. But getting them to that point, you know, making them, you know, not making them, but allowing them to come to the conclusion, hey, I need some medication or I don't want to take medication. It's up to them. They have to come up with their own plan of action. We just sit there to support them. We help you walk with you through the doors. And that's what they're trying to do, because they're saying that the peers have better success than the regular doctors and, you know, all of the clinicians that are handling these cases. So that's what I'm involved in. It's somewhat new, because the county is basically looking for the peers to basically take a big part in actually helping the homeless and people with mental health issues. And a lot of people are still ashamed of it, whatever. I say, you know, all of us at one time go through it. And, you know, we have, you know, at the time I was going through it, I met, like I said, Bob, Carol, and Colin, it sort of helped me. But then I was calling in daily to hear their comments and participate and whatever, and it got me through some really hard times. Everybody goes through it. You know, it's just, you know, what support do you, I guess, find your, or what do you do to advocate for yourself to find support to help walk you through those trying areas of your life? You know, because you can come through it.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you've had your hands full, girl.
I do. I'm enjoying the challenge. It's a challenge, but it's a beautiful thing, because, like I said, some of these people are the most entertaining, and they wig out and whatever. And it's like,
in other words, you're an audience disguised as the director of the program, but you're actually the audience watching it.
I'm watching it, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them are so brilliant, and, you know, some of the conversations that they have, and you have to sit up there and reel them back into the topic. But, you know, they're brilliant. You know, one of the guys that I'm thinking yeah. about right now is Jack. You know, he goes in statistics, but whenever he formulates an answer to a problem, it is just that he's autistic, or Asperger's. He has Asperger's.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that he frames it, it's like amazing, and I'm like, my goodness, you know. And he sort of took to me, but he goes there and he's like into, you know, the conversations that you guys would have. He could follow it 100%.
Right.
more so than me. So, I, you know, it's a pleasure, you know, interacting with people,
yeah.
such, you know, like that. So I say, I'm just going for it.
Right. Now, McClune said that with the satellite environment, we became a global theater, and everybody mm-hmm. was crew on Spaceship Earth. There were no more audiences. Everybody was mm-hmm. an actor doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And then Ayn said, so you have a lot of people looking for an audience. Wouldn't mm-hmm. you say a lot of this, people yeah. that come to you, if they're not really bonkers, but they're like half sane and just mm-hmm. disturbed about something, they just need someone to listen to them. They need an audience.
They need an audience, exactly.
Yeah. And more and more, because our society encourages expression, self-expression, you look at interviews with people 50, 60 years ago, they don't have anything to say. They don't know to speak their opinions or anything. But nowadays, everybody's got one, especially by typing anonymously. So the people have become very creative in general.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. But L.A. is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't see it as crazy. I see it as just progressing the way it's supposed to. You know, people do what they want to do and what they suppose or what they feel to do at that moment. So I don't look at it as crazy. I look at it as, oh, this is another interesting thing that's going on. Okay.
It's not you start off saying L.A. is crazy, and then you're saying
L.A. is not crazy. L.A. is not crazy. It's just going through its... It's evolving. You know, all the states or countries are evolving. We just don't. I don't think we're tuned in enough to it to basically say, okay, this is just the phase that we're going through to get to the next level, you know, to experience something new and different because, you know, things are always changing and moving.
Did you say you don't think it's a phase?
I don't think it's a phase. Well, yeah, I think it is a phase. I think it is a phase. We go from one phase to another, one program to another. We do things, you know, at one time TV was the all and end all, or radio was the end all and be all, and all of a sudden then there's TV. There's something new. So not many more people started watching TV. They still participated in radio, but when they came home, they went to the TV. And now it's the internet. Everybody's on the internet and they're typing all the time.
Yeah.
And now there's text messages and then there's Snapchat and then there's Instagram and there's Facebook. I mean, we just sort of just progress, you know, and keep on changing things up, but we're still somewhat doing the same thing. We're creating. We're just creating the same thing over and over again, just a new way.
Right. Now, are you on Facebook? I would say you wouldn't. You like the personal.
No. I'm not. I have to get on Facebook for the business, but I'm going to have somebody else do that. I'm not into that.
Yeah.
Nor the Snapchat, nor the Instagram, nor all the other apps. They have so many apps now, you know, that you can communicate on. I'm not into it, though. I like face-to-face. I like being on the phone. I will text every now and then, and I'll, you know, participate in some venues when I'm interested. But most of the time, I'm not really all that interested in it. I'm just doing my own thing.
Okay, so switching the topic.
Well, can I just say one more thing, Bob, to Califia before we switch the topic? Califia, I want to say this. I think that any person who comes into your area and you're going to be working with them is very fortunate because people who are mentally ill, disadvantaged, or poverty challenged do not usually get the level of acceptance and joy that I'm sure you deliver when you're working with people. And I just think it's really sweet, and I wish there were more people like you helping people like that.
Well, you know what? That's a wonderful thing. Somebody just wrote that in a recommendation about me. But I thank you for that. I do. I know that I'm meant to, I guess, just accept people. I like the acceptance thing, just accepting them just where they are. It doesn't matter what others think of them. Accepting them, that goes a long way, you know, and not sitting up there buying into, oh, I'm this and I'm that, or I can't function. That's not true. Just you're buying into the lie that everybody has been telling you and the lie that you've been telling yourself. So, you know, but I usually sit up there and get to know them a little bit before I'm that blunt.
Very cool.
But go ahead, Bob. Go on to the next topic.
Well, since 2014 or whenever you weren't really listening anymore, it's become obvious that ION is a hologram. It can be a hologram, operates as a hologram, and claims to have taken over the cloud, which is the main grid, I guess, for the computer world, what I call the chip body. and he's going to do something with it, or they are going to do something with it and alter it. So we're looking forward to seeing what he will reveal about that once he comes back. I unpredicted Trump, said that Trump was a different kind of person and that he would win. Now, many people predicted Trump would win, but they didn't go into the 6 months before the election, leading up to the election day, and talk about, well, this is why Hillary's ahead in the polls now, and in 2 weeks Trump will be ahead in the polls, then Hillary go ahead. Ion talked about the changes 6 months before the election, so that's the different thing. Ion was monitoring it and telling us the ups and downs. And so Carol and I talked to Ion regularly, privately, but Ion will not talk about politics or anything in the world, which is what a lot of people want. They want to hear Ion's view of Trump and all this stuff. And so Ion's saying that if they were on the radio the last 2 years, everybody would be asking about whatever Trump was doing. And, you know, he doesn't think it's that important. They've got other things to talk about. So I see partly Ion withdrawing because of the Trump mania. And it's going to be interesting to see what Ion says about it, because Ion, I found that Ion was talking about Trump back in 2009. I just happened to go way back there, and then I saw it in my notes. Wow. And he was putting Trump up there with Queen Elizabeth and other dynasties. And Ion said a little later, 2010 or 11, that Trump understood what happened at 9/11, and he's the guy who took the building leftovers back to China because he was in construction that. So he has a very inside view of things, and then his uncle is in charge of the Tesla archives for the government and was a very insider scientist. So I imagine Trump had talked to him here and there. So basically, Ion says that Trump's going to be a success and will eventually he'll have his face on Mount Rushmore. But then Ion qualified it and said, but Trump will have to pay for it. In other words, he's a rogue operation. He's got the money to do whatever he wants. So he's somehow going to put his face up on there, and there'll be billions of people protesting it. But he'll get it up there. So that's, in general, what Ion says about Trump, is that, you know, he's going to eventually become a king and will be president as long as he wants. So can you imagine telling that to Californians? They'd secede yesterday if they heard that.
Yeah. I think I heard some talk about California wanting to succeed, but
there is a movement.
So,
do you know that Trump didn't even campaign in California?
No, I know that.
Yeah, he just ditched it, and he figured he could still win the Electoral College with the other stuff. He didn't need California. But that's a big split. Symbolic split between California and Trump. So that's the top. So that's the topical stuff that Ion has not said anything about, and not even to us, because he's sticking by what they said 2-3 years ago. So we have a whole bunch of new things that are going to happen for us when Ion comes back. It's going to be pretty interesting for me and Carolyn, and so we're very excited about all that. And it's going to be very interesting to see what Ion says to people like you. Ion did say a couple of years ago, go back and ask all the old questions again. We would get different answers. So that's if anybody's run out of answers, just go back to a cash flow show and listen to somebody's question and write it down and repeat it. Memorize it, and you just have to repeat it. That's when Ion comes back and engages people. So let me see who else. Now, James Perth came in. He hasn't been on here for a year, and he said he had to take a shower and he'd come back. so I was hoping to have a reunion, but I don't see him here. Hey, Gene, do you remember Califia, or was she gone by the time you came up? I just unmuted you, Gene.
Hi. What was your question, Bob?
Did you hear Jean when she was a regular?
Califia.
I mean, did you hear Califia when you first came in here?
No, I wasn't here when Califia was on a regular basis, but I heard a lot about Califia, and she'd called in periodically. And I remember your wonderful laugh. You just have a wonderful laugh, Califia. And
I'm glad you like my laugh.
So Gene, you've heard all the archives, so you've heard what she's contributed.
Yes, I had one question, because I wondered if you were given the privilege of listening to the Forex Formula sessions that before we got to hear them this year.
No, they were never played.
So you had your own questions. She had her own questions in her private session that might have led her down a down.
No, I don't think she knew about it. She had her own stock market stuff that you were doing.
Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that no longer.
You stopped it?
I stopped it, yeah. I had enough.
Right. And how long ago was that? 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, around 3 years ago. This is 2019. Yeah, 3 years ago.
Matthew Rose just typed in. He's someone who was around in your day. He says, has it been 10 years? Yes. ION came through March 18, 2009, so in March it'll be 10 years. But for the radio audience, it'll be 10 years in October 2019. 10 years that Ion's been on the air. Now, he says, has it been 10 years? And then he has a laugh icon. Is that a joke, Matthew? Like, what's funny about that? Okay, so, Greg, did you want to say something to Califia?
This is good to hear your voice, Califia.
It's good hearing your voice as well.
We'll Greg and Ginny got married last year. Or was it this year? It was this 2018?
It was
May 2018.
May. Yeah, we got married in May, and it was a wonderful little beach wedding with some must-haves. So people flew in from, all over the place, and it was just great. It was a wonderful time, and this was something she'd never done before. She'd never been married before. I never had kids. And, of course, my kids just adore her. And, she doesn't have a mother figure, or a dog in the fight. They'll talk to her about anything.
Well,
is that a mother figure, you're saying, Greg?
Well, she's not a mother figure.
Not a mother figure.
A friend, a confidant, that kind of thing. So my son will talk to her about sex. it's quite humorous. She loves them, and they get along just great. And so it's been wonderful. My favorite saying of 2018 is creation is a busy pleasure. So it's been a lot of creation going on. And years ago, Ion said to me, "Oh yeah, Greggy, you just wait. You're going to want to push the demanifestation button." I'm not there yet, but boy, when they say you got to get something done, give it to a busy man. And we're getting an awful lot done, and so it's very, very blessed. Just what we wanted and what we created, and here we're just living it and going about 90 miles an hour.
Hey, Greg. So. Greg, yeah, we're getting an awful lot done. A-W-E full lot done.
A-W-E full. Yeah. Awful. Full of awe. So, Greg, is there a way to say what's happened since 2014 here in Ironton?
Is there a way to say what's been going on since 2014 in Ironton?
Yeah, is there a change? Is there something that you would say to Califia
that's different
from
her day? Okay, let me just get these right words here. For me, it's been just opportunity after opportunity after opportunity that obviously I created. It's mm-hmm. not something that I've ever sat down and said, oh, this is the world that I want to live in and everything like that. It's just flowed. It's just mm-hmm. flowed faster and easier with more awe than previous years. It's almost like it's on autopilot. You know, mm-hmm. the voice is coming back into my head that I had mm-hmm. Before I engaged with Ion, and those voices are just, you know, premonitions. This is going to happen. Make sure you do this. Make sure you say that. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that should be automatic. It's not something that I need to engage in. It should mm-hmm. be a knowingness. Mm-hmm. I think the knowingness has been probably more prolific, but it's hard to say because, you know, how do you, from this perspective, say I know more than I did 10 years ago? I think if you were to say, what is the scorecard of that knowingness, it's just things that work out easier and quicker and faster with less heat in the fire. You know, mm-hmm. we always have contrast, and
right.
it's not a big deal. It's just mm-hmm. how little fire there is in that contrast. That's how I would put it. And from mm-hmm. Ginny's point of view, you know, I listen to her pretty good, and it's not mm-hmm. a day, an hour, a minute, a moment where she says, mm-hmm. this is what needs to happen, and then she'll come back to me and go, well, you won't believe what happened. I'll be like, let me guess. You know, it was the thing that you desired. So from
right.
her askings to the fulfillment of her askings, I think those moments get shorter.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a good way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Just in looking on the chat room, mm-hmm. since these shows will become more and more famous and used over the next 200 years, here's a response. This is Nina from Finland. Mm-hmm. Now, Nina came in a couple of years ago, I think. She says, I've been listening mm-hmm. to the archives,
mm-hmm.
and Califia's laugh and energy is just amazing.
Mm.
She says, hello, Califia, and greetings from a cold minus 23 centigrade and snowy Finland. So
oh,
look at that.
Wonderful. 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 No, I know I'm going in history because I was with you guys in the beginning, so I'm in history. I didn't make my mark.
That's right. Yes, yes.
And so, no, I appreciate it, and I'm glad that people enjoyed my laughter and whatever else I did. You know, Henry, I mean, you guys allowed me to get loose a couple of times, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. So
yeah, and
a lot of stuff came out.
A lot of stuff came out. We had to suppress later.
Yeah.
Now let me ask this, Califia: what do you uh-huh. do now? Like, I work with I talk to a lot of the Ionettes. I did the Wednesday show for several years, and I had my own mm-hmm. radio show. And I even remember writing you and asking you if you would be on it, and they never did hear back from you. But
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, no. But I'm just
mm-hmm.
saying, no, that's fine. But I'm just mm-hmm. saying, you know, I would interview the Ionettes and stuff about what their experience of Iondom was and this kind of thing. I quit in 2016 because I kind of got too busy. But
mm-hmm.
I know I talk to a lot of the Ionettes and what they do to keep themselves kind of on track.
Mm-hmm.
is a lot of times they will go back to the archives. They have, you know, they'll listen to Radio Free Ion, which is a 24-hour stream of everything Ion's ever recorded. They'll
mm-hmm.
listen, you know, to Bob Sessions and things, or, you know, tune into Carolyn's show. You know, just to keep their rudder in the water, so to speak, because the way that the world looks right now, ascension seems about as far of a reality as you could get. I mean, you know, every 5 seconds you're learning about the next toxic situation that's going to take everybody's life, the next, you know, violent situation, the political upheaval all over the world, the crash of the financial system. I mean, the things that are looming and threatening everybody. And yet, you know, we're over here in Iandum with just the most amazing joy and exuberant living because we have all fully agreed about our own ascension, you know, the agreement that we made with ourselves that we would supersede all of this craziness and ascend. So how do you still think about that? Do you keep yourself inspired, motivated? What do you do about that?
Well, I listen to, I guess, similar topics with some of the authors I became familiar with. I went over the Seth books.
No, wait, you're a little muffled, Kalipia. What do you say you listen to?
Seth. I've looked into the
Seth
book. And then I listen to, what is it, Abraham Hicks.
Yeah.
I guess because I've had the experience with Iandum, and I was an IonNet, whenever I go through changes or whatever, I do go inward and basically, bring myself, I give myself my own reality checks, you know, realizing that this is just a phase, something, an experience, you know. I know that, my contrast is not enduring, and I'm, you know, I usually balance myself pretty well because I do have that knowledge and I do have that background. So it's, you know, I know how to calm myself down and bring myself back on point. And I know that a whole lot of people don't really relate to what I'm saying, but they do get encouraged and inspired by some of the things that I do say on how I deal with things. You know,
yeah.
I don't take life too seriously. It's nothing to be, you know, this too shall pass. That's an old biblical saying, but, you know, you can use it in Iandum too. This too shall pass. You just have to just go. Just be accepting and embrace things, you know, not hold on, not make it the be-all and end-all of your life experience. This is just an experience, a journey that we've agreed to, that we've placed ourselves on. So I say just learn how to own whatever that's going on in your life. And once you do, you're all right. Once you accept your own goddom, you're pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that's all, that's what I basically tell to my friends or people who are close to me, you know, you did this. Once you accept that you did this for your own purposes or for your own reasons or for your own experience, you'll be okay. But if you're going to sit up there and blame somebody and blame God of all people, then you're going to remain stuck. So, you know, learn how to embrace whatever's going on and you'll be okay.
Yeah, well, we changed the term IonNet to IonNots, like astronauts.
IonNots?
Yes. Yeah, IonNots.
What was the change for?
We got promoted.
Because one explores the space. No, you explore the space that Ion creates, like it's outer, inner space. It's like an astronaut.
No, it's the people who are not, Bob. I thought it was
people
who are
level.
Not.
Yeah, Ion says we are the people who are not. And that includes
we are Ion not.
We're trying to become more politically correct, Kalipia.
Oh,
you know.
You're being politically incorrect.
Yes. Well, you're one of these not. You just said the philosophy. You know, you don't take life too seriously. That's a person who is not.
Yeah. Well, that is good.
Captain Beefheart said, one of my best favorite phrases, he says, on the cover of Rolling Stone, 1970, he says, I'm not here. I'm not really here. I just hang around for my friends.
That's a very true statement. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Okay, so we have Bert in Switzerland, and he's been an in-depth student of an Ionaut. To the extreme of the archives. Do you have something to say to Kalipia, Bert?
I was just saying hello, Kalipia. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hello, Bert.
Yeah, hello. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I heard your journey. Good, real good. I heard your journey. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Is it? Are you dealing with people in the really inner city with psychological problems?
Yes.
Like in
the, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That should be pretty interesting then.
It is very interesting.
You have to be tough there, Califia. You have to be tough. I met you. You're tough. You got to be some kind of tough there, don't you?
Yeah,
I'm pretty tough, you know. But like I said, I don't really take it all that seriously because, you know, I'm only going to interact with, you know, people for a certain amount of time, and then I move on into my own space, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are saying that they burn out because you're too absorbed.
Yeah.
Like, you have to sit up there and release, you know, let that go once you're no longer dealing with it. And I think that's the problem with people burning out. And I say, then you got to sit up there and take care of yourself. Go have some fun. Do something interesting. You know, get your mind off of that stuff, you know.
Khalifa, is there a term for the people engaging your program? Is there a term limit, or they can go stay as long as they can, or is there another stage? Is there, like, you know, 6 months, year? What's the term?
Are you the final stop, Califia?
You know what? I'm hoping that I will be. I'm hoping that I will be because, you know, you need to stop. I mean, you know, once people start owning their stuff and accepting that, hey, I'm not, you know, I might have some issues or whatever, but don't completely absorb that. You are, you know, and this is your experience. Accept yourself. Accept everything that's going on with you. And, you know, once you learn how to own or take responsibility for who you are and you creating yourself to experience this life, you can do better. You can do better. But most people don't want to accept that. We like to wallow. We like to wallow in our pain. And as far as a time limit, I won't put no time limit on anybody. Everybody comes out of it when they feel they're ready, you know.
Yeah.
But they have to sit up there and embrace their life and embrace themselves, because basically when you detach yourself mentally and you say, oh, I have a mental health issue or whatever, I have bipolar or, you know, I'm schizophrenic or whatever, you've labeled yourself, so you have to go through that experience until you're tired and say, I want to experience something different. And you start coming to yourself, you know. But we have too many labels. I bought into what Ion, I guess, spoke to Carolyn. None of these people don't have no issue. They all right. And just, you know, they have to sit up there and come to themselves and say, hey, I'm ready to sit up there and experience something new. Or stop, you know, or getting attention, because a lot of them are just getting attention. I want attention. Mm-hmm. I want you to pay. And as Bob just said, a lot of my time is just spent paying attention to what they're doing. And it's like, okay, it's okay. I'm their audience. And some of it's quite fun. Some of it is really, really fun to look at. You know, you go home, and I mean, I have good laughs about some of the behavior of people. It's like, wow, this is fun. They just said some really interesting things here. Okay, God, that's a good one.
Yeah,
and sometimes I use their sayings or whatever, you know, because it makes sense. And some of them are, a lot of them are extremely brilliant. They're just doing their own thing. So this is their experience. I just accept it.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you accept them, they can, they basically, you know, cozy up to you and begin to talk to you in a real sense, you know, with real common sense. And it's like, oh, these people ain't crazy. I know it.
Yeah, they relax and allow.
yeah. They're just acting. As you said, we are actors, so all of them are putting on good shows for us. Pay attention. Yeah.
So Bert, what do you think's happened? You came in 2020, December 2011, right when Ion left for the first time, right?
Yeah, right.
Do you remember Califia? No,
we
didn't have shows.
I remember hearing Califia in the archive.
Yeah.
I remember
but
in
not,
the archive.
There were no shows in 2012, 2013. So what do you think has changed from 2014 till now?
Well, There's something that Ion said to Bob in one of their sessions that just made me just forget everything and just remember that you can tell that there's a frequency change. So you can see that every day when you go out
in the world,
the frequency change is evident. Trump is a